From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, widespread haze, sunshine and 83 degrees. Tonight, hazy and 54 for a low. Tomorrow, again with the widespread haze and then sunny and 79. Sunday, smoky, sunny and 76. And Monday, patchy morning fog, sunny and 80 degrees for the day. 75 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, we're covering a lot of different things on this program with a lot of focus on recovering from the recent Archie Creek fire and the entire fire situation around Oregon. Today, we're joined by the FEMA official, Federal Emergency Management Agency official in charge of the recovery from the Oregon wildfires. He's a federal coordinating officer, Dolph Demott, who joins us. And thank you for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
And where are you joining us from today?
I'm in our interim operating facility here in Salem, Oregon.
Now, let's kind of set the stage in terms of your role. Talk about your background in FEMA, how long you've been there, some of the things you've done.
Well, I started out with FEMA in 1998, responding to Hurricane George's, about 10 years straight of hurricane response before I applied for a position as federal coordinating officer, which is the person that is appointed by the president to coordinate the federal response to a disaster. So in 2007, I became a federal coordinating officer, and since I've been all over the country responding to various types of disasters. I did respond to California wildfires a few years ago. Not as a federal coordinating officer, but in a deputy role. But this is a big one for me, and I'm happy to be here. I got the right experience under my belt to run a big, huge operation like this that involves the entire federal family and state counterparts, county counterparts, et cetera. So that's my story.
I'm curious about your background education-wise that leads you to FEMA.
Well, I guess what really prepared me was my career of 13 years in the U.S. Navy overseas. We responded to a lot of natural disasters. They don't have a FEMA overseas, so when volcanoes erupt or there's Bangladesh relief efforts or flooding events, it was always Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines. It was always the Navy that responded, and I kind of derived a lot of satisfaction from helping people recover, well, respond and recover from disasters. And so I was naturally drawn to emergency management after the Navy.
It seems like a very complex job and sort of, I don't want to say oddity exactly, but a very different role that when you're out deploying people is when all of these bad things, these various natural disasters happen. And it's kind of a mix, I would imagine, for you between looking at a situation and then having to assess very rapidly how to deal with it.
Well, let me just say it's heartbreaking in many cases to see the faces of people that were just so traumatically impacted. Last 2 years ago, I was in Hawaii for a Mount Kilauea eruption, and every day we watched the lava destroy homes. They lost 800 homes of people just completely under the lava. They'd gone forever and everything they owned. So, this is as bad or worse to see what I've seen here in Oregon over these wildfires. But let me express my heartfelt condolences to the families who have lost loved ones. I know we had at least 9 fatalities. And also the grief that you suffer when you witness that widespread damage to property and the environment. It's very traumatic.
So when did you come down from your headquarters office in Washington State? When did you come down to Oregon?
on the 8th of, what is this, September. I got a call from Andrew Phelps. He's the director of emergency management. And he said, the state's on fire, Dolph. I think we're going to end up requesting a declaration from the president. So I came down a couple of days before the emergency declarations, which was on the 10th of September. And then the major declaration came in on the 15th. And basically, the major declaration brought in direct federal assistance. And it gave us the funding to do everything we needed to do to staff up and begin with emergency protective measures.
A lot of times with natural disasters, they're forecast, you see them coming. In the case of our particular Archie Creek fire, a couple of days before, the Weather Service said a set of circumstances, the high winds that were forecast, the hot temperatures, low humidity, could bring on a very rare occasion, a very rare event that happens only a few times a century. People look at that, and I'm not sure what the level of concern was, but this thing went kind of, at least locally, went from 0 to 100 in a couple hours.
Oh my gosh, it was a fast moving fire, and that's what is the worst thing you can ask for. Really, there's no time to think. I know I've heard stories. I've talked to people that they just happened to look out the window and it was bright orange, and the fire's coming straight to them, and they grab a few things and get out and get in the vehicle and drive off, and a lot of people made it to safety without having any time to prepare for it or anything. It just came and did its horrible destruction so quickly. I remember that the governor and all of us were concerned that it could have been a mass fatality event, because there was indications that there's still two cars in certain driveways and nobody knew how everybody got out so fast. But it was fast. It spread so quickly.
And of course, when these situations take place like this, I've heard from the California fires, the fire path often can change quickly. There have been situations and other cases that I'm aware of where a fire was headed one way, a resident thinks they're fine because it's going that way, and then they happen to maybe literally wake up to use the restroom in the middle of the night and look out and realize they've got a couple of minutes to get out. So it was very dramatic for some people. A lot of folks around here, it was mid-morning for the two fires that ultimately became the Archie Creek fire. We had the earlier fire closer into Glide that brought in a lot of concern at the front end. That ended up being taken care of at a few hundred acres. But now we look at the aftermath, and we look at what lies ahead. I got a chance to go up just a couple days after the landowners were able to go survey their property. And, you know, I've said this more than once, it looked like a bad movie scene.
Yeah. Yes, Kyle. It's if you have never seen what's left after a fire, it's shocking. All you really see are some ashes and what's left of a foundation. Very little survives. And It's worse than a flooded home that you can lose some of your furniture and utilities. And this takes away everything you own and all of your memories, pictures, important things that you have in a home are all left behind. It's the worst kind of disaster. And I know there's a lot of people in pain over this right now. And there's no words that you can say to those that have lost their homes. Plus, the trauma of working in a COVID environment, we're already living in fear. And that on top of everything else is just too much, you know. So, anyway, I don't have anything other than my condolences to those many, 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 many families that are impacted by this.
One of the things I have thought about, in fact, there's a few things I need to do myself, but for the rest of us who live away from the Glide area, didn't lose our homes, of the 109 homes that were taken in the Archie Creek fire, is to maybe a good chance to evaluate, and you could probably address this with your emergency management background, about some of the things that you need to do so that you know where files and safes and different things like that, so that you can find all this information or at least be able to know how to access it online if this should happen to you sometime.
Well, that's right. They have fireproof safes. I can't really speak to that with much authority because I know that it's important to keep all your documents in a safe that will survive a fire. But I don't know how many people actually have invested in that. But I do have some information here in front of me for people that have lost those documents because the state has. Oregon has done a great job of compiling a list of places that you can get replacement documents. If you're interested in that, I have some phone numbers.
Perfect. And we'll take a break and come back and cover that with our guest today, the federal official from FEMA in charge of recovery from the Oregon wildfires, Federal Coordinating Officer Dolph Demont. Back with us in a couple of minutes. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. CBS Audio, America changed forever today at 4. A look at COVID-19, social media in the election, and the education crisis in America. We're talking about the Federal Emergency Management Agency, their work to help folks deal with the effects of the mega fires here in Oregon, and Federal Coordinating Officer Dolph Demont with us from Salem this afternoon. So in the short, mid, and long term, how can FEMA help folks deal with what to do next?
Well, in the short term, and actually the most important thing that I can express today is that we want everyone to register with FEMA. That begins the entire process. So we register. There's three ways to register. One is online at disasterassistance.gov or calling 1-800-621-FEMA. FEMA, that's 1-800-621-3362, or by using the FEMA app on your smartphone or iPad. The registration takes about 10 minutes, but that information that we collect through that registration guides us in helping in housing solutions that are tailored to each individual survivor. So if you can help us get that message out, Kyle, for registration. And also, while we're on that point, please, everyone should register that was impacted in Douglas County, even if you have insurance, because there are cases where your insurance doesn't cover everything, you're underinsured, and most insurance doesn't cover well and septic damage. FEMA does. We can take care of certain additional living expenses while you're out of your home, and help you with rental resources and probably extend the stay of your rental expenses beyond what insurance pays. So we want everybody to register as soon as possible. They can't do anything. FEMA cannot help until you register. And so that's an important message. And also, if you don't mind, we have a disaster survivor assistance team in Douglas County at the Glide High School, which is open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And those disaster survivor members can help get people registered or help them understand our programs and answer any questions that they have regarding FEMA and the programs that we offer. So that's in Douglas County. I think we have plans to open up a larger facility in a couple of weeks. But registration is key at this point.
So for looking at the situation from the housing standpoint, you've worked with other natural disasters, other big fires. When you've seen other fire situations, and these are historic in terms of five mega fires at once, how long does it tend to take before people can rebuild, especially in a very rural area where it would seem to me like you'd have a lot of infrastructure that would be dealt with probably very slowly because of the level of damage.
Yeah, recovering after wildfire is really a team effort and requires the help and expertise of many individuals. Wildfire recovery does not happen overnight. For many people and many communities, it will be a very long process. I know the California fires of Paradise, maybe 18 months down the road. We're not talking about just individual homes, but entire communities that need to be rebuilt. And so what we do for FEMA is we have a long-term recovery effort that brings in interagency help from other federal agencies. And we'll work with the community to come up with a plan, a step-by-step plan with a timeline on basically their desires in recovery. And we assist that, and we try to bring in some financial help from those agencies and help form that probably a five-year plan, you know, to really fully recover from something like this. That's the main point. Wildfires destroy everything, and then you have to build it all that infrastructure back up, you know, including schools and fire stations. And when I went out to Detroit area there, everything's gone. Post office, everything that they had in the town is leveled. So that takes a long, long time, more than a flooding disaster or any other kind of disaster. And we do have direct housing assistance. If it's asked for, it has to be requested by the state. So we could provide manufactured housing units or a multifamily lease and repair program that we have in the interim to keep people up to 18 months in those units or in a rental property or a leased property. So that is one way we can help. Of course, you have to be registered and be eligible for that. So that's what I highly encourage people to do if you're listening right now, to make sure you register with FEMA.
And in this area, we happen to have already, like a number of other places, a housing shortage in the Roseburg area. Certainly out east of Glide, where the fires took place, are not a lot of homes extra normally for rent, things like that. So a lot of folks up there may end up in Roseburg for a while, but there's going to be a shortage there of homes, I suspect. And so the potential for having these mobile home units at some point would sound like it'd be real helpful.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing. There really is a lack of available housing resources in that area, in Roseburg, Glide. That whole, there's no ability for people, if they want to rebuild in their own community, we possibly could have travel trailers in mobile ones that we put a place on their property, and if we can get the electrical and utility hookups. And that's an option that may be used, or building out on a mobile home site that might have been destroyed. We could build that up with some units or private sites. There's various options. You have to really look at the situation and identify what each individual family wants and their desires. And so it's a complex, coordinated process that we have to go through to determine that.
What do you
best housing option?
What do you think the timeline would be for some of those units?
Well, I think the record for FEMA of ever replacing one unit on a site is about 75 days from the start. You know, that's the record, but I think that's as fast as it could go. And it could go up to 18 months. I mean, it could take a long time. It depends how much site prep you have.
And so, obviously, between that now and then, a lot of things to consider, a lot to look at. About 30 seconds left on Inside Douglas County. Why don't you give the contact information again for folks to get signed up with FEMA?
Yeah, so please write this number down, 1-800-621-3362, or go online to disasterassistance.gov or download the FEMA app, just go to the App Store, download the FEMA app on your phone or your iPad, and register on those three. Now, about 80% of everyone's registering online right now.
All right, Dolph DeMont, Federal Coordinating Officer from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. He's based in the Seattle area, joining us from Salem today. Thanks for being on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.